And now, just for you, YK World!
YK World! You are listening to YK World, a podcast about the goop between music, art, and technology, told through the lens of YK Records and the Nashville music scene. I'm your host, Michael Eads. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am calling this episode Proof of Life. It has been way too long since the last episode came out. My little interview with Trash Man, Alex Mojavarian, came out December 19th. Today, as I record this, is Friday, February 20th. That's 2 months. What has happened in that time? I don't want to be one of those guys that says I've got a new podcast and then can't do a new episode every few weeks and months go by between episodes. That's awful. I don't want to be that, but that is absolutely what I am. You're witnessing it. You've heard it. Your lack of hearing it. I should say, I'm recording this on the tail end of being in New Orleans for 5 days, and I've really come down with some crud. They call it the Mardi Gras crud, and it hit me hard. Being around thousands of other people doing who knows what really gets into your system. And, you know, in a couple of years, I'll probably be happy about this. I'll have a very strong immune system, but for now, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling rough, but I am desperate to record an episode, so desperate that here I am at the end of my work day, sitting in my studio with 100-degree fever, and there's no reason for me to do this. You could wait a couple more days, but I gotta get it done and get it out there. All right, so let me catch you up on a couple things. Most importantly, there's new music on YK Records, and if you haven't heard that yet, you absolutely need to hear that right away. So first and foremost, I want to announce that the band Bleary has joined the YK Records roster, and they will be releasing their full-length debut album this spring. We've got two singles out as of right now, one called Sugar Splint, one called Bug. Those are both from the album that is entitled Little Brain, and they are excellent. They're very shoegaze inspired, but there's a ton of harmonies. There's a very melancholy vibe to it. There's so much about it that I love, and there's so much about it that I cannot wait for you to hear. They are a fantastic band, and I am really flattered to be working with them. It's fantastic that Alex Mojavarian was our last guest on this show because he's now the current drummer for Bleary, filling in for whomever was there before, permanently or temporarily, I'm not sure, but he's the drummer, and he even sent me some demos probably 6 months ago and said, I really like this song by the band Bleary. And I think he was planting seeds to say, hey, buddy, nudge, nudge, get your act together and work with Bleary. And now it has happened. We've got this record in the works. Go check it. You know what? Here, let's play a little bit of it. Let's listen to the latest single. This is Bug.
Disappear completely.
Okay, that was Bug. Fantastic, is it not? The Sugar Splint is in the same vein, but unique in its own way. Foyer will be the next single. Heard it here first. Just stay tuned in. If you aren't following them, click through in the show notes and go and follow them. They actually released an EP back in 2019 called Gates that is also incredibly good. That came out on Cold Lunch Recording. That it was run by Caroline Bowman Schneider. That'll come back up in a little bit, but what an interesting full circle moment that is happening there. The previous label that they released music with is someone that I am also working with now. Funny how that works, isn't it? Another bit of new music that you should be aware of, Fetching Pails has released a new single called A Dutchian Smile. I don't think I've ever said the title out loud before, especially not into a microphone, so I have no idea if that is the correct pronunciation, but it is I believe, a psychological term for an authentic smile. There's a kind of smile that happens when you are truly happy that is different than a smile that you put on by thinking about it. So if you're just smiling because you're truly elated, that's a Dutchian smile. A Dutchian, God, it's going to be really embarrassing when someone comes back and says, dude, you did not notice the umlaut. But it's a great song. I want you to hear a bit of it. Let's hear the whole thing right now.
This heart is useless. I must have another. And it must be sound and young.
Thank you.
was a Ajachian smile. Supposedly that's how you pronounce it. You know, don't hold me to it. That is the, I think, fourth single from Fetching Pales in the last few years as a trio, joined by Andrew Corr and Dylan Smith filling out the group. I really like the direction that they've been going together as a trio. That will manifest as an EP in the future. Again, heard it here first. We are putting some touches on that, but go check out the video for that last track that we just listened to. Jill teamed up with Leah Miller, who you might know from a band. What was Leah's band's name? Oh, Peachy. Yes, that's right. Peachy. If you have never heard the band Peachy, click through in the show notes. Check out Peachy. But Leah Miller made this incredible pair of paper mache masks. Jill Townsend, aka Fetching Pales, put a fantastic outfit and costume together to go along with it, and made this wonderful 10 frame per second video that tells this really wild, surreal story set in the forest. It's a cool video, very cool video. My description on a podcast is not going to do it justice. Trust me, look in the show notes and go check it out. And also go through and just click through in the show notes to read more about the song. I will read a little bit for you here, but the song really came from a very cool backstory. When Jill's daughter was 4 months old, she was laying in a crib. She had a Fisher Price piano at the end of the crib, and she kicked out a melody, a chord progression. And Jill just happened to be filming it at the time, and something about that chord progression really caught her ear, and she created a song, this song, based around that kick. And it actually is sampled in the final song that we heard. Pretty fantastic. Pretty amazing little backstory there. Really love that. Go through in the show notes and click through to read more from Jill about the song. I've got a quote up from her about just how it all came together and sort of the history of the song. But that's the gist of it. It's really fascinating. Her daughter's not 4 months old anymore. Her daughter's much more grown up now. So this song's been kicking around for a while. But it's cool that that has made its way into the recording and that that is the origin story. So that is the latest in terms of the releases from YK Records. We've got the two songs from Bleary, the new song from Fetching Pales. Of course, if you didn't hear Zook's new album, Evaporating, that came out in the tail end of 2025, go check that out. All the stuff from 2025, if you didn't hear that, or all the stuff from any era of YK Records. If you've never heard it, go check it out. But those are the most recent releases to put your ears into. There is a lot more slated for the future. I've got a lot sort of in the hopper, one in particular that is, to me, a very big deal, but I keep holding off on announcing it because I want to be able to let people order it and then get it in their hands immediately. I don't want there to be a really long pre-order window for this. It's going to be really special. And if you were at this show that I helped put on in January, you might have seen it. I'll leave it at that. But that's a great transition to talk about another reason why it's been so long since there's been an episode. I mentioned this on a previous episode, but in January 30th and 31st, I was part of a promotions team called Good Signal, which is myself and Caroline Bowman Schneider, putting together a show that featured Glossary and the Features reuniting for the first time in 10 years. They have not played a show in 10 years, to my knowledge, except for this. And it was a fundraiser for community and local radio, WNXP, WPLN, WXNA. We raised a ton of money. The shows sold out so quickly. They were at this place called Eastside Bowl, which is an old Kmart that has been renovated into a bowling alley and multiple venues. So when the shows sold out super quickly in the main room, which holds like 600, 700 people, we wanted to create opportunities for more people to come. We didn't want to limit the event to just those that could attend the main room event. So Caroline and I booked the front room. There is a venue in the front called The 58. And we booked that out with a bunch of YK Records bands and local Nashville bands and regional bands to create more interest to come to the event. There was lots of merch to buy. There were raffle tickets to buy. There was a silent auction. There were DJs in the third stage of the venue, which is called the Low Volume Lounge. DJs from the different radio stations and just the community in general that were playing a bunch of different music. It was insane. It was such a euphorically good feeling event, not only because all of these bands were coming together to fundraise for local and community radio, but because the week prior to the show, no one could have predicted this, except, well, maybe a meteorologist, but 1 week prior to the show, an ice storm hit Nashville and did some insane damage. It froze everything. It was this very interesting meteorological event in which it rained and that turned to snow, and then the snow turned into some insane ice and it exploded trees and it caused snowquakes. And none of that is hyperbole. Those are actual things that happened. The trunks of trees were so laden with ice, and as that ice expanded, it exploded trees all over the city. And you can imagine, as a tree explodes, it's going to hit an electrical line. And so hundreds of thousands of people were without power throughout Nashville. So that is 1 week prior to this event. People are sleeping in their offices, like I was. I was without power for 9 days. I'm thankful that I had a place to go, but there are a lot of people that didn't. You know, it was a pretty rough time. And our city did, a lot of people are saying they did a pretty bad job on handling it. I'll leave it to them to be that critic. But yeah, probably could have been faster. Anyway, people are without power. The ice and snow starts thawing and melting out the week after that, leading up to the show. People are still sort of just beleaguered by the whole thing and tired. But as the show gets closer and closer, the roads are clear, transportation is safe, and so many people came out to the shows. The sold-out crowds definitely arrived and just soaked up both nights so deeply. The sets from the bands were incredible, all of them, all of the bands. Everyone played such incredible sets. It's really remarkable that it came together so well. And I know that I'm saying that from a really biased standpoint, because of course I'm happy with the shows and I'm proud of them, and I'm going to talk positively about it. But yeah, I stand behind all that. I think it went exceedingly well. And often I don't give myself praises like that. I don't think that I caused the music to be good. I just feel great about the whole thing, and I'm just so happy that it happened. But starting Jan 1, I was very focused on getting some more sponsors for the events, posting to social media about the bands that were playing, about the sponsors that we already had in place, about the silent auction items that we were going to have, about X and Y and Z, and managing all of those things. Pretty much all of January was a huge wash. There was no way for me to also record a podcast that I felt great about. And also, there wasn't any new music to share. That Bleary song didn't come out until January 30th. So Sugar Splint was like cracking open the seal of 2026 for YK Records. There wasn't new music to talk about prior to that. So it just wasn't going to work out. Anyway, after that, a little bit of recovery time for myself, a little bit of New Orleans time. And now here we are at February 20th. 2 months after the last episode, and I'm here to give you proof of life. And I hope this is proof of life. I've been very busy in January putting together that show. Goodsignal.online is our Instagram handle and our website. We do have plans to do more in the future, but we don't know specifically what that's going to be yet. So you'll just have to stay tuned. Go follow goodsignal.online, and we will assuredly post something. Now, the last thing that I want to tell you about, the proof of life for me here on YK World, is that I am a guest on the most wonderful podcast, Major Label Debut. If you are unfamiliar with that show, I highly recommend you go check it out. It is an interview show that started with the conceit of, let's talk to artists that released an album with a major label, their major label debut. Maybe they had a bunch of indie releases prior to their major label. Maybe they came out of the gate swinging with a major label debut. Either way, let's talk to a bunch of artists about their experience on a major label. The first episode was with Rob Schnaff, the producer of Elliot Smith's XO, which came out on DreamWorks, a major label. They talked to so many amazing artists about their experiences with major labels. Now, obviously, in the case of Rob Schnapp, they could not talk to Elliot Smith himself, but they did get extremely great insight into what that experience was like. They talk with Dave Perner of Soul Asylum. They talk to Mark Arm and Steve Turner of Mudhoney. It's really, the list is long. They have a bunch of great episodes. Graham Wright is the host, and he is from Tokyo Police Club, a band that I think is quite wonderful, and does a wonderful job of talking with everyone. It's also produced by Josh Hook and a man named John Paul Bullock, whom I've known on the internet for, 15, 20 years. Just an internet friend. I've met him in real life, but he came from the internet, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, Major Label Debut as a podcast starts talking with artists and having these fascinating conversations about people directly related to artists going onto major labels or the artists themselves. But over time, as any good show would, it progressed and it evolved and it expanded its palette to talk to more people, a wider variety of people. They have an episode with Brendan Burke of the PR firm The Syndicate, talking about like what is it like to work for a publicity firm, you know? They talk to Lisa Fancher of Frontier Records, which, if you're not familiar with the history of Frontier Records, which I was not, unbelievable history there with the LA scene in like the 80s and 90s, really, really interesting. They even talked to a music lawyer, Randy Ojeda. I'm sure I'm butchering that name, but super fascinating. Doesn't really have to do with the musicianship, but it has to do with all of the trappings of major labels. And really just, it's a conversation at the intersection of art and commerce, which is maybe a pithy way to boil it down, but they have done it in such a fascinating and compelling way. So all that said, I was very shocked when they asked me to be a guest on the show. I don't have all that experience. I'm not a known name in any capacity. I do think that I might have some interesting things to say because I've been on the internet for so long, but I don't know, maybe not. It was just baffling and shocking and really, really flattering. And that episode just came out this past week. We cover the history of YK Records. We talk a lot about the importance of community. We talk about the dangers of nostalgia. And we talk about remembering that social media and the internet are not the same thing. That episode is linked in the show notes, and I would be really grateful if you would go listen to it. You're already listening to me yap on a whole bunch about stuff in my life, so maybe you don't want another 93 minutes of it. But we cover some really great topics. They do a great job of guiding me through some interesting things to talk about. We have some very similar experiences, and I believe you as a listener will also have those similar experiences and will have something to relate to there. And anyway, regardless, it's a great podcast that you should go check out. Okay, that is my proof of life episode. I might call it Fever Dream Fiasco. I don't know. There's all kinds of names that we could come up with here that would help me sort of explain that I should not be recording this, but I'm desperate to get it done. Our show music is by Mac Burris. I really should have mentioned that at the top of the show. I should mention that at the top of the show every time. Mac is just so gracious with his time and his skills and just helping me out here. This show would not sound as cool as it does without Mac's injection of music. I'm sure I will get him to make some more stuff in the future, but man, what a treat. Click through in the show notes to follow him, and if you need music for something, anything, hit him up. He's fantastic. Follow us at ykworld.show. Is that our website? Oh my god, yeah, ykworld.show, ykrecords.com. It's so weird to say URLs in a podcast because they're in the show notes, but are you going to click on them? Are you? No, you're probably not. Find me at recordsyk, that's underscore y. Just search. Just go to the search. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to go to a URL. All right, folks, I'm definitely hitting the wall here. And I appreciate your time so much. Remember, I don't have stats on this thing, so I don't even know if you're listening, but man, it sure feels good to get this out into the world. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk at you soon. Take care of yourselves.